Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Hollywood is on to something in the dreams that they dream, and they're not even sure what they mean, and we the prophets get to interpret those things. I think that's beautiful. It's very much like Daniel in the Old Testament, where the king would have a dream, and then he would say, "What does it mean?" And Daniel would show up and be like, This is what God is speaking to you." So we get to do that this morning, but as with any sermon, I want to ask your permission. As a broken human being who is not perfect and who does not have everything figured out, would you allow me to teach you something that I believe from the Word, whether we disagree or not?
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So I want to begin with a quote by one of the late great Christian theologians, Charles Spurgeon, who wrote in his devotional Morning and Evening the following excerpt. "Since the first hour in which goodness came into conflict with evil, it has never ceased to be true in spiritual experience that Satan hinders us. From all points of the compass, all along the line of battle, in the vanguard and in the rear, at the dawn of day and in the midnight hour, Satan hinders us. If we toil in the field, he seeks to break the plow. If we build the wall, he tries to cast down the stones. If we would serve God in suffering, everywhere, Satan hinders us. There was never a revival of religion without a revival of his opposition. There was never a revival of religion without a revival of his opposition." So to make an absolute statement this morning, I want to say your struggle in life and my struggle in life is simply this. God wants to bring us back to the place of how he first created us to exist. In Ephesians, it talks about, "I saw you before the creation of the world, and I prepared you to do good works. And I prepared those works in advance for you, and I created you to be holy and blameless in my sight." God wants to bring us back to how he first created us, and he's in process of doing that. And to that, we are not unopposed. The battle in the natural has roots in the supernatural. That is difficult for us to understand in this culture because we can't see it. It's that simple. I mean, we have a hard time thinking about orphans who are starving on the other side of the ocean and comparing their problems to our problems, and ours overweigh us so much. It's simply because we can't see them. They're not our next door neighbor. We don't look out our window and see things. So if we can't see something, it becomes very difficult for us to understand how real it can be. And so you just have to take my word that the battle in the natural actually has roots in the supernatural. Paul writes in Ephesians 6:12, I memorized this when I was a little kid, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but is against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's a long way of saying your struggle isn't against people or yourself. Your struggle is against an enemy who hates you. And he wants to destroy this mission that God is on to bring you back to how God originally created you to be. Now, does anyone know the title of the movie we're watching today? Who said it? Who said Force Awakens really fast? Point at him and don't lie. All right. You win. This is movie tickets and dots. Yeah, enjoy the movie and sneak those dots in, I guess. I don't. Yeah, eat them real quick in the car before you go in. The Force Awakens shows us this reality in a very fresh way. And so the clip that we're about to watch is a little violent, but kids, know that it's not real and the guns really don't shoot laser beams. And if you need to cover your eyes or step out, completely understand. God is trying to bring back order to the universe. In this clip, good is trying to bring back order to the universe. And like you, it's not unopposed. There's a mission to make wrong things right. And it gets attacked and it gets thwarted.
Take this. It's safer with you than it is with me. You get as far away from here as you can. Do you hear me? I'll come back for you. You'll be all right.
Far worse has happened to you.
You know what I've come for.
I know where you come from. Before you called yourself Kylo Ren.
The map to Skywalker. We know you found it. And now you're going to give it to the First Order.
The First Order rose from the dark side. You did not.
I'll show you the dark side.
You may try. But you cannot deny the truth. That is your family.
You are so right.
That bad guy is so scary till he takes off his mask like 45 minutes later into the movie. We're only watching two clips this morning, but man, have you ever felt like you're in a battle? Have you literally, like, have you ever, I'll be the first to raise my hand there. Have you ever felt like no matter what effort or time or energy you spend into trying to beat this thing, you're constantly losing? Anybody? You're just constantly losing? Have you ever wondered, like, why is this so stinking hard? Why is it so, just so hard? It's supposed to be easy. Like, Jesus died for me. I received him. I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. This thing is so hard. It's because your battle is not against flesh and blood. There's something out there that is dark, and it is battling for your heart. It is battling for your identity. This opposition wants you to believe simply that you're not everything that God made you to be. That's like the main point of this attack. That you believe that you're not the person God made you to be. All the while, God's in this process of trying to work it so that you can get back to how he first originally created you to be. With all of those gifts and all of those talents and all of those things that he prepared in advance for you to do, God wants you to wrap your identity around that thing, and yet everything around us feels like it's directed in the opposite message, like there's some master puppeteer up there making every experience in our life like tell us the opposite of what we want to believe about ourselves. To me, there's a logical process that goes with that. If everything that's happening or the majority of things that are happening in my life are telling me the opposite of what I know deep down to be true about myself, there's something weird going on. There's something strange. And that's where this, you know, thousands of year old book comes into play that says there's an enemy who hates you. And he's working to come against this mission. Now, I've heard a lot of people they credit everything to Satan, and it kind of turns us off. We don't want that. We don't want to just explain things away. The devil made me do it. But until we're willing to acknowledge that there is this force, that Star Wars hits, The Force Awakens hits really, really well, just has no clue what it's actually talking about. Until we're willing to accept that reality, we're just going to keep getting beat up. I'm going to say it again, and I don't want to sound pithy, but your struggle is not against people. Your struggle is not against yourself. Your struggle is not against the world. Your struggle is against evil, the devil, the serpent, the liar, the Hasatan, as it says in Job, the great dragon in Revelation. The Bible has many names for him, but the bottom line is this. He hates you. You hearing me? He hates you. And he wants to steal and kill and destroy everything God wants to do in your life. And he always, this is the tricky part. He always does this through lies. We're not dealing with a power battle here. We're not shooting lasers at the bad guy and he's sticking his hand out and is like, frozen, you can't touch me. We're dealing with a truth battle. Some theologians have said it works like this in Christ. If I were to try to stop traffic in the middle of an intersection, I don't have the power to stop that traffic. But if I were to take a 10-ton boulder and set it in the middle of the intersection, all of a sudden I would have the power to stop traffic. And that would be revealed with the crashing of cars stopping immediately. But I also don't have the authority to stop traffic. And if I were to just walk out in the intersection and yell stop and put my hands up, I might get run over. But if I were to put on a police officer's uniform and walk out in the middle of the intersection, all of a sudden you would see people slamming on their brakes. And so the analogy is that with Christ, we have both the power and the authority to take captive the lies that the enemy tells us. Now, that's a good word, but if you just know that analogy, it doesn't do any good. We have to understand where these lies are coming from. These lies come in your head every morning when you look in the mirror. These lies come every time you think of yourself and try to think of your identity as a mother and a wife before you wrap your identity around woman who is a child of God. These lies come from what others have said about you before, are saying now, and the fear of what they might say in the future. He's a liar, and he wants you to believe his lies. And he has set up a system in this world that is going to lie to you around every turn. And one of those lies is that he's not as good at his job as what people have told us or what our hearts really believe. Let's see what Hollywood has to say about that.
The Jedi were real.
I used to wonder about that myself. Thought it was a bunch of mumbo jumbo. A magical power holding together good and evil, the dark side and the light. Crazy thing is, it's true. The Force, the Jedi, all of it, it's all true.
It's true. It's all true. In the movie, Han Solo, you know, he reaches this place where so much is clashing around him that he just has to acknowledge this isn't myth anymore. There's actually this plan that's set out to try to destroy the mission that good has to take back the universe. And I think that's a premise that we have to wrap our minds around. But as culture begins to grow on us, and as the idea of asking more and more questions and getting more and more philosophical in those questions starts to label the people who are good at asking those questions as better and more famous than others, we will begin to lose the premises that are in the Word of God. And it's very dangerous that we don't, it's very important that we don't lose those premises. And it's very dangerous if we do. There will always be an enemy who hates you. He is trying to destroy everything that you have going good in your life. He is trying to take away the mission that God has to communicate to you in a very holistic way, body, soul, mind, and emotion, of who you are and who and the things that he created you to do and be for him. And the enemy is trying to get you to believe you are 100% something else. So let me tell you this. Are we listening? The battle is real, and it's not your fault that you're in it. Did you hear that part? Yes. You were just born here, and so was I. But you're going to have to learn to play the game by the rules. Otherwise, you're just going to keep getting beat up over and over and over again. When I coach basketball and a kid comes out and he doesn't want to play the game by the rules, he can't play. He has no success. You're going to have to learn to play this game by the rules. Or else you're just going to get beat up over and over and over again. And playing the game by the rules begins like this. You are a child of God. You are meant to seek after Jesus. Jesus died for you and he rose from the dead for you. He took every attack the enemy could have against you and he made them powerless. And you have a destiny that cannot be thwarted. But you are not meant to exist in your own head. You are not meant to exist in your own head. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5 says this: the weapons we fight with are not of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought, and we make it obedient to Jesus. I believe, and you might disagree with this, but I believe that most spiritual warfare that happens in this world happens in your head. And the biggest problem is that you've convinced yourself that the majority of the thoughts that you think are your thoughts. I just don't believe that. I believe that you have thoughts come into your head that are not your thoughts. And I believe that the Bible says, take those thoughts captive for a reason. Take every thought captive, not take your thoughts captive. Take every thoughts captive, because when someone speaks to you, they put a thought in your head. When you look in the mirror, a thought from somewhere in your past or some wound or some hurt that's been strategically puppeteered to rise every time you look in the mirror or go to work or have a meeting with your boss or think you want to do something good or step out and take a risk, a lie comes in and says, you can't, you're not enough. This is what I encounter most of the time when we go out and do street ministry. People who don't want to come along, and I don't think it's for everyone, but every once in a while I'll encounter someone who really feels like this is something that God has called them to do, but they just can't because they're not enough and they're not ready and they don't have their act together or there's sin in their life or there's this thing going on. And I'm like, you are playing a circus game. You're playing a circus game of lies that no matter how many times you try to throw the ball in the bucket to make yourself enough, it's never going to land in the bucket because the game is rigged. The game is totally rigged. To learn to play by the rules is not to play those games. It's to open this thing up and say, the more that I get into this, the more that my thoughts are going to be transformed. It's to believe those abstract concepts that seem to be weird that the church kind of clings to. You are meant to have community. You were not made to keep secrets. Secrets will run you crazy. They will turn you into a crazy person. And then you'll think you have demons in your head. You were meant to exist in community. You were made to be honest. You were meant to be in God's word. You are not meant to hold grudges. You're meant to forgive every wrong ever committed against you. Try not forgiving hurts. And tell me you're not playing a circus game. Tell me you're not involved in spiritual warfare. You're so crippled you can't even walk out your own front door to love your neighbor because forgiveness hasn't taken its proper place in your life. And you were designed to love the hurting instead of staring at all of your old scars. You were designed to love the hurting instead of staring at your old scars. We get our first glimpse of spiritual warfare in Genesis chapter 1 when the enemy says to Eve, God didn't really say, don't eat this thing. If you eat this thing, you'll become like God and you'll know good and evil. And Eve shifts her focus from everything that God is doing in the world to make this world a place of peace. And she focuses on herself. And then Adam does the same thing. And then from there on out, we have people who were born to be part of bringing this world on mission back to the place where God had created it to be, to embrace the identity of who God actually created us to be when he spoke us into existence, all sitting around, staring at themselves, lost in their heads, unable to take thoughts captive because they can't be honest, they can't forgive, they can't live in community, and they don't know how to love. And we were called to something so much greater. Now, if you've been experiencing the intenseness of this battle, and you know what I'm talking about, I want to invite you over here to receive prayer after service because there are people here who really love you and they really want to fight for you. And guess what? They know how. If you want to dive into this more, because I feel like it was very introductory, I want you to get on the river.info/grow. I want you to get on that grow tool, go to the values, scroll down to the spiritual awareness section, and I recorded three different podcast teachings. One's introduction, one's with Nate Bull. I don't know if anybody knows who Nate Bull is, but he did an amazing job. And then I recorded one with Rob Link teaching on the idea of what it means to live in spiritual awareness in this world and embrace the kingdom and not get caught up in this circus game that the enemy has a lot of us in. Okay?
Great.
We love you. We want to be in this battle with you. We want to fight this thing together so that the river can become a place. Listen, so that the river can become a place that is on mission. Not staring at ourselves, looking at our scars, but on mission to bring this city back to how God designed it to be.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.